What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Fit for Life with Anjuli and Ross podcast.
Hey, team.
I'm excited for today's one because I think it is something I hear time and time again. And we are basing this podcast off the line, I eat well and I train hard, but I'm just not getting results. This is something I've heard from many people, and I've also seen it spreading across the internet on TikTok and things. So Ross and I thought we would talk through a few reasons why you may not be getting the results that you want despite trying your hardest in the gym and with your nutrition. So let's start off with calorie intake. What's required for, say, fat loss?
Fat loss, you need a caloric deficit. And essentially what that means is you're intaking less calories than you need to maintain your current weight.
Okay, so with a lot of people, we're going to focus on fat loss for this podcast because that seems to be what most people struggle with. So when it comes to a calorie deficit, how do you know if you're in a deficit?
Essentially, you need to get somebody to help you, or you can work your maintenance calories out yourself. And then from there, you need to try and subtract 300 to 500 on average calories from that maintenance. And then it's a bit of trial and error from there. So you're tracking your calories at that rate. Is things like weight and stuff like that lowering over time? If so, great, you're in a caloric deficit. If there is no change, then you might not be in a big enough caloric deficit.
Awesome. And how do you track your calories personally?
Via MyFitnessPal.
Awesome. Me too. So MyFitnessPal is a great app. You can use the free one to track your calories. Of course, if you're on the squad, you can see your calorie intake, your meals on your meal plan. But in general, using something like MyFitnessPal, which has a huge database all around the world, makes things really simple. So it is possible to eat foods that you enjoy in a calorie deficit, but the biggest thing is going to be having the education around it. So if you are someone that's struggling with knowing exactly how much or what to eat, then of course, getting a coach such as myself is going to be beneficial. But when we speak about calorie deficit in terms of fat loss, it is really important if you're not getting the fat loss results you want, that you are actually accurately tracking what you're putting into your body, because that has a huge impact into whether or not you're going to lose fat. And that also follows on nicely to one of our points, which is about being inconsistent with tracking. So being inconsistent with tracking everything, whether that's, you know, your weight, because you're weighing in at all different times of the day and you're not being consistent with that being first thing in the morning. Maybe it's that you're not accurately tracking your progress photos and taking them first thing in the morning, or you're not weighing your food. Even though you're tracking on MyFitnessPal, it's not accurate because you're not actually weighing your portions. Or maybe it's that you're inconsistently tracking all your other habits, your sleep, your water, your training, and everything like that. It is important that you are consistent with your habits if you have a specific physique-based goal.
Yeah, totally. And that kind of goes back to our last podcast. We talked about having a specific measurable goal. So setting yourself up with something to measure in the first place. That way you can track your progress. And again, consistency around, you know, tracking the variables that impact that is really important, right? Like if we were looking at you needing to be in a caloric deficit for body fat loss or weight loss, and you're not progressing towards that goal, if variables are consistent, you can manipulate them the easiest, right? If your steps are at 10,000 per day, if your calories are accurate, then we know we can manipulate those variables. If you've had inconsistent days where calories are really high one day, you're on track another day, then they're really high, steps are all over the place, we can't effectively change those variables to the point where we know we're going to get accurate results. So yeah, start with being accurate with how you track for sure.
Awesome. So we've spoken a little bit about nutrition. Let's talk about training. There are a few reasons why someone won't be getting the results that they want with their training. So for someone that wants to build muscle, it's really important that your training is in alignment with that goal, that you are focusing on progressing with your sessions, and that you're following a structured training plan consistently, as opposed to going into the gym and doing random workouts. Because like I've always said, random workouts equals random results. when it comes to a fat loss goal, your workouts are really important still, of course, but we don't just want to be doing those random results. We want to make sure that we are progressing with our weight training to ensure that we're maintaining as much muscle as possible. And if you do want to mix up your training and do different types, then it's important to make sure that you're aware of the effect that that has on your goal. So if your goal is to build your legs and build your glute, but then you're going out running, you know, marathons every couple of weeks or so, it's just not going to be in alignment to what you said your goal was, which was to build muscle.
Yeah, 100%. Training, just like nutrition, is really specific. So we need to train in a specific way to get a specific result. If you're, like Andrew Lee says, if you're training in random, I guess, areas, you're going to get random results. Whereas if you're training on something specific, you're going to get that specific adaptation.
Definitely. And when it comes to training, I think sometimes people think that the more they do, the faster they're going to get to the result, or more intense workouts and the more they sweat, the better the workout is. And you and I have shown with our own results that that's not necessarily true. I mean, I personally don't even find that I sweat with my weight training sessions. So someone that is new to weightlifting in the gym, I hear this quite often. They'll say to me like, oh, these workouts are too easy, I'm not even sweating, because they're so used to doing these crazy workouts where it's all these fast movements, it's high intensity cardio. And that's just not necessarily what's going to be optimal depending on your goals. So it is really important that you have a proper training plan in place, and also that you're not trying to overtrain. And when I say overtraining, I'm talking about going into the gym morning and afternoon. There's no need for you to be going into the gym twice a day, training weights, adding in running, doing some HIIT circuits, you know, doing a boxing class with your friends and just loading up your plate with all these different sessions. The biggest thing that's going to get you the results is going to be having all your habits in alignment with one another, including your nutrition. So we cannot outwork our nutrition. If your goal is fat loss, doing a random amount of workouts and overloading your plate with training is not necessarily going to help. If anything, it's going to be more detrimental, because you'll find that you're more prone to injuries, you're probably more tired, you might be feeling more stressed. And then, of course, you're probably going to be more hungry from the increase in training, which means you'll find it harder to stick to a calorie deficit. Do you have any thoughts on overtraining or training in general?
Yeah, I think it just comes back to thinking about what you actually want from your training. For example, if you're trying to lose body fat, but you're trying to retain as much muscle as you can, then you want a structured strength training program with probably just steps, right? You're not trying to do things that are too intense that perhaps might impact your ability to recover and give your all to those resistance or weight training sessions, which are going to be the ones that are actually going to help you with that goal. If your goal is to get cardio fit, then cardiovascular exercise, absolutely great. Go for it, HIIT, running, whatever you want. But yeah, just think about what specific outcome you want from your training, and you want to train in that way that's going to give you that specific outcome.
Definitely. Following on from that, with overtraining, I did mention stress levels. So let's talk about stress and sleep.
Yeah. So stress and sleep, they're both really, really important for your goals, whether it's muscle gain, fat loss, whatever it is. Sleep's where we recover at night. So we want to make sure that really we're getting as much as we can when it comes to quality sleep. General thumb is aiming for 8 hours or more if you're an adult, for most people. So that's what we want to be aiming for recovery. That's going to keep our hunger hormones lower as well. So when you're dieting, that's going to be really helpful. Just think about when you're really tired, think about your nutrition choices in that time, and how often do we slip up when we're really tired? It's pretty common. You've probably done it. You could relate to that. It's really relatable. When you're tired, you make poor decisions around nutrition some of the time. Not all the time, but yeah, some of the time you'll make poor decisions around that due to your hunger hormones being higher. Same with stress as well. When we're really stressed, it affects our hormones as well. So that's going to impact things too. So keep stress low. That also keeps inflammation levels lower and all sorts of great stuff. So yeah, stress low, sleep high.
Awesome. Great. Yeah. So practicing stress management, if you are someone that struggles with that, whether it's with work, family, relationships and things like that, can be really important to talk to someone if you need help around that. But meditation, yoga, deep breathing are all really important things that you can do in order to help manage your stress. I personally prefer 8 or more hours per night. Of course, if you're a new mom or a new parent, it's going to be very different. So just do the best that you can. I know there are a few of you mums out there listening to this, so just take care of you as best as you can.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's your situation, right? Aim for as much as you can, really, when it comes to it. Lots of professional athletes believe in sleep extension, so even getting more than that. So like, it's really dependent on your situation. If you can, get at least 8 hours.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. So moving on to the next one, let's talk about patience. So often people will give up, honestly, after a week or two of trying something because they haven't yet gotten any results that they want. So then they fall into this trap of jumping from one plan to the next plan to the next. And it's natural to feel impatient with something, I feel, these days, because everyone's so used to getting everything when they want it. You want an Uber, it arrives in a few minutes. You want food delivered, it can be to you in, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. So patience is something that, I guess, takes work to build on. And Ross and I would say that we are really good with delayed gratification. Like, we are okay with choosing something long-term that satisfies us as opposed to taking the short route. So when it comes to your health and fitness goals, it is really important that if you have a plan in place and you know that this is a plan that has worked for other people, for, let's just use coaching as an example. If you know that I, as a coach, know how to get my clients' results, I'm working with you one-on-one, I create the plans for you based on your personal goals, then you know it's going to work if you commit to it. So I'm not necessarily talking about a random plan you found on the internet that may or may not work, but if you have a proper plan that has been personalized to you and you know that it has potential to work, it is really important that instead of you, you know, focusing on the outcome, you focus on what needs to be done each day and you take action and you just trust the process and trust that the results will come if you nail all your habits.
Yeah, I think it is a mixture of definitely doing the daily things that need to be done, right? Your habit-driven processes. But I also think if you've got a big goal you're working towards, you need to have sub-goal check-in points. So like if you've got a 12-week shred, for example, where you're trying to drop 6 kilos or 10 kilos or whatever it is, whatever that goal is that's realistic for you within the time frame, because it's all going to be a bit different, right? Each month or each like 30-day block, you should be noticing some progress towards that goal. It doesn't mean that you're going to be all the way there, right? But if we're doing, we jump back to earlier, we talked about if we're controlling all the variables, like you're accurately tracking your calories and macros, you're accurately doing your steps, you're effectively following a training plan that works really well, sleep's at a good point, stress is low, then we should be noticing progress over periods of time. And if not, that's where it's really important to reevaluate what is and what isn't working so you can get towards that goal over time, right? So yeah, definitely focusing on the daily things that we need to check off to be able to achieve that bigger goal. But as a human being, we need to see progress over time, right? It doesn't mean it's going to happen right away, of course. So we need patience when it comes to the day-to-day. But think about sub-goals along the way. If it's a 12-week shred, you want to be checking in at 30, 60, 90 days, or even every couple of weeks, perhaps, to make sure you are on track. But you should be noticing progress towards that from day one to day 30. It's not going to be that amazing, you know, 12-week transformation because it's only been 4 weeks. But if you've been doing everything that you should be doing, then we should be noticing some progress. And if it's not progressing at the rate it should be, that's when it's really helpful to check in with your coach or have a coach that you can check in with, like Anjuli, to make sure that, you know, you are changing perhaps the variables that you might need to manipulate to get to that goal. Now, when it comes to something like muscle gain, for example, that's a far longer process where we're probably looking at a goalpost of 6 to 12 months. So if you that is much further away. So, you know, within that, you'd probably want to have sub goals that you can measure and track and effectively work towards, like getting stronger. Getting stronger is a progress sign that your muscles are adapting and you're making progress towards that bigger goal. So you might not see those glutes straight away that you're trying to grow, or, you know, arms, whatever you're trying to grow out there. But, you know, if you are getting stronger, it's showing you're making progress towards that goal. And eventually when we get to that 12 months, we should be then be able to see the muscle gain progress. Again, if you're not getting stronger in the gym, probably likely that you need to manipulate a few things towards that muscle gain goal.
Yeah, definitely. And I do think when it comes to being patient, sometimes having an external person can help you realize how far you're progressing. So for example, I had someone check in today. They said that they were the same weight on a Friday as they were on the Monday, but they were feeling a little stressed out about this weight being the same. They're thinking, why hasn't it gone down? It's been 5 days, even though I'm nailing all my habits. But then when I said to them, well, look, at the start of January, you were 2.5 kilos more. So just over 3 weeks, they're down 2.5 kilos on their journey. So if you only look at this small picture of, oh my gosh, I've stayed the same weight for 5 days, of course, without having that external voice of reason to tell you to, you know, look back on how far you've come, you might get caught up and then start feeling impatient. But honestly, we looked at it, she's progressing faster than, you know, I thought she would. So it is really important that you have someone that can hold you accountable, that you can also reflect on how far you've come, but also sometimes someone else that can just kind of call you out on the stories you're telling yourself. So if you're saying I'm not progressing or I'm not doing this and that, sometimes it helps to have someone else say, like, you know, look, you are actually progressing. You just aren't noticing it.
Yeah, I think that's really important as well, is about having a clear expectation of what's actually possible within the timeframes of your goals, given where you are, and understand that everyone's genetics are a little bit different. If you're completely new to training, you're absolutely beginner, then you can't expect to look like somebody who's been training for 10 years within your first 12 weeks, right? It's gonna take time. Like, I had someone come up to me at work the other day and they said to me, do what you're doing, I look like you. And I'm like, yeah, great. Just bear in mind, I've been doing this for about 20 years. So, so you know, like, you can get into it. Just make sure we've got clear expectations on the timeframes, where we're currently at, and what's achievable within those timeframes that we've set.
Totally. And I think with that, don't let someone else taking, you know, 10 or 20 years to build the muscle that they've built put you off, because this time's going to pass anyway. Whether you start now or don't start now, 5 years from now, you'll either be close to your goal or in the exact same place. So please be patient with it. Of course, put in the work day in and day out, but just know that the time is going to pass anyway. So you may as well be taking steps.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I wasn't saying to that guy that it was going to take 20 years because I don't actually have like a ton of muscle, but it's probably going to take him 1 to 2, 3, you know, sort of years to get to that point, right? Like, it's still going to take them time. So I guess it's just making sure we're setting our expectations right and following all the tips we've talked about.
Totally. I wasn't saying that about you, obviously. I mean, but even looking at me, I've been on my journey for 10 years, yet I've helped clients, you know, in their first 3 months, make incredible changes because they're so new to it and they've got a plan from day one. Sarah Moore is someone that comes to mind. She came to me, she lost 8 kilos in the first 90 days. I've had her on the podcast a few times before. And then she went on to go into a deep build and go on to turn pro. I've had other clients work with me and go on to turn pro in their first show, which is absolutely amazing. So yes, these days, to be honest, to get great results doesn't have to take 3 to 5 years if you're consistent and you have a proper plan in place. Whereas I spent my first 3 years having no idea what I was doing and not being consistent. And that's why I didn't get the results. So if you are, you know, starting new, if you get a plan in place from day one, you are more likely to go further than someone that just wastes the next few years not knowing what they're doing and just trying every kind of fad diet. So yeah, don't let my time frame of progress be your measure of success.
Yeah, well, most people, like, if they're doing something really accurate, they're going to get towards their genetic potential within the first 3 or 5 years, right? Yeah. So after that, making progress is very small and it takes a lot of detail and it's really hard, but you obviously still can make progress. But that first 3 or 5 years is going to be where you get most of your gains.
Yeah, that's right. I feel you and I are now. It's like quite challenging to take it to the next level.
Yes, it absolutely is.
Awesome. Okay, so moving on from there, you mentioned genetics. So I do want to touch on genetics. We're not going to go too far into this, but everyone has different genetic makeups and it is going to vary, this is going to vary your results in terms of how much muscle you build, but also in terms of where the fat goes from first. So certain people are going to store more fat around their waist, more around their back, their thighs. Everyone's different. I'll have clients that will lean down in their legs first, but their stomachs store more fat. I personally find that fat from my waist is usually kind of the last to go and the first to come in a build. Everyone's going to be unique with that. So the main thing I just wanted to say on genetics is, yes, you can't control the genetics you have, but you can still make amazing progress by focusing on all the factors that you can actually control. So that's your nutrition, your training consistency, your sleep, your stress management. Do you have anything to touch on genetics?
No, like obviously, yeah, you can't control that. And some people are more genetically predisposed to certain things, and especially muscle gain. But everyone can make pretty great progress, and great's just going to look different for everybody.
I love that. Okay, lastly, I wanted to touch on underestimating calorie intake, because there's been so many studies that have been done showing that people heavily underestimate how many calories they're actually consuming. And this is one of the biggest reasons why so many people are overweight or struggle to lose weight, because you just don't know what you don't know. And if you've never tracked calories, you're unaware of portion sizes, it's highly likely that if you're not where you want to be, even though you're training hard, you are over-consuming your calories. So just to give you an example, I spoke to a friend and they're saying to me that, you know, they eat pretty well throughout the day, but then when we looked at what they're actually eating, they're eating the highest fats of foods in terms of, you know, the highest fat tuna, or using olive oil from a bottle and pouring it in the pan to cook their food. These things all add up really quickly. And even though you think you're eating well, you could still be eating calorie dense food. So the easiest way to get around this would honestly be to download something like MyFitnessPal, or to keep a food log for a few days and write down everything you're eating, figure out how many calories you're consuming, and then go from there. Do you have anything to touch on with that?
Yeah, I just think it comes back to that first thing we talked about being accurate with the amount of calories we're having, because it's really easy to do. Even if you like know about calories, you have a pretty good understanding, it's really easy to slightly over-consume. I use myself as an example. Recently, over the last probably 6 months, I gained 2.5 kilos, which is not a huge amount really, but because I hadn't been tracking, my calories were slightly higher than they, you know, normally were. I wasn't trying to purposefully gain weight, but just over time it started to creep up, and it wasn't like I was making poor choices around my nutrition. I'd eat similar things most days, but it just slowly crept up, because it was underestimating visually how much was in the food that I was eating. Since going back to tracking over this little shred, weight's come down really easily because I've been accurate with what I'm actually eating, and I'm actually knowing what's in the food, right? So it comes back to accuracy. It's really easy to overestimate. Lots of people do it. In fact, most people do. So
underestimate. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So with Ross touching on that, like both him and I over the festive season, we of course enjoyed, I was able to maintain, which I'm really happy with, but I was consciously tracking throughout the period just to make sure that I was maintaining with my goals in mind. When it comes to, you know, maintaining or underestimating what we're eating, Ross and I, we're both having snacks. So extra snacks here and there really add up. And I don't think people realize how many extra calories you will consume in a week if you're having extra nibbles while cooking dinner, or after your dinner, if you feel like having a sweet treat, and every single night you've built that into a habit and you're doing that continuously, you can easily be adding, you know, 500 to 1,000 calories a week just on top of what you're normally eating.
A little wine here or there, a beer here or there. Like it just starts to add up and push those calories into a surplus where we start to gain.
Yeah, so the biggest thing here is just going to be getting a good understanding of what you're consuming and then taking that intake down over time so that you can eventually achieve your fat loss goals. If your goal is to actually change the way that you look and you're not currently getting the results that you want. I think that's everything we have to say on this topic. Of course, if you are someone that is struggling, maybe you are having some medical issues, or for whatever reason you've started a medication and you've noticed changes to your weight despite not changing anything else, then of course you want to go and speak to a doctor, reach out for some professional help. But otherwise, we just really wanted to cover this topic because I know how many of you have set big goals for this year and you really want to achieve them, and you're tired of every single year staying in the same place. So if that sounds like you, if you're someone that is working really hard, but you're just not getting the results that you want, please click the link in the description, join my VIP waitlist. We'll jump on a call, we'll chat about your goals, and we can get started working together this year. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you in the next one.
See you in the next one.